Hi, guys and girls. Welcome to This Is My Lads Resort podcast number 3. I'm Chuck.
I'm Luke.
And I'm Lee.
You've been dentist today, haven't you, Lee?
Fucking hell. Yes, I have. It looked earlier like I'd had a stroke.
Great start.
It's not funny. It is funny. No, my fingers crossed, not there. Thing is, I've got a bit of a phobia of dentists.
A lot.
Tweet us,
guys, with your phobias. We want any phobia, and we'll try and cover them because I'm with Lee, with dentist.
Oh, yeah?
Thing is, right, yeah. I went in, and it was 2 o'clock, so I'm there on time. She waltzes in 5 minutes later. She's been on a dinner. She's got all the gym stuff on. She's very fit. She's an active woman. She's oldish.
So your dentist has been out for a run or to gym?
Gym, in a dinner hour.
All right.
Okay. And she's got them leggings on, they're wearing trainers, and she's a body, she's fit. You can see she's all in shape and toned. Yeah, she's fit. And, anyway, so I get called through 15 minutes later, and I've got all these others. So is she running on time? No, they're running just a little bit behind.
So you've still got that late.
Yeah, so I'm sat there with my cards, looking at all my them two lines with your teeth on, with all these dots and squiggles and shit that nobody understands but them. It's like hieroglyphics. So then I get called through, and she's lovely, and young girl in there, she's brilliant. And she knows from previous I've got a bit of a... I don't like needles, especially my face. And so she goes, sit down, it's filling into it. I says, yeah, you all right to have it? Yeah, I'm fine. So I get to there, have a bit of banter, and then she starts, well, I've had a temporary filling in that's lasted really long. So she was happy about that, and then she gets all these drill bits out, and you can see them, and I'm fucking... She was like, would you like me to numb the area, or do you want me to go straight in? We aren't numbing it. I'm thinking, you ain't drilling in my face. We aren't numbing it. I don't like needles, but I need not to feel pain.
Yeah.
So she goes, I'll have it, but I'm not looking.
I don't think them needles hurt, though.
It fucking does me.
No, when I had that abscess, I think I was in that much pain. Yeah. I think it was a relief.
But, so... Last time I looked and it freaked me out, so I learnt this time and shut me out. She puts you them goggles on, a bit of paper on your chest, leans your back, and of course your heartbeat starts.
Yeah.
Going. And she see how it's because you're right, because she talks really nice to you. You feel ooh. Yeah. And then I feel this needle cold dripping on my gum. And then I feel a pain shoot down and she's sticking it down there. And it's like they drag it along to the next day, stick that down, and then down again and down again. And I've got this such a like acidic taste in my mouth, and I swallowed dinner like a twat. And then she goes, you need to wash that out. And I've swallowed half that bastard.
I've heard that you're a swallower.
So I rinsed my mouth out. Of course, it's activating really quick. So I'm already dribbling, and I spit it out to my side, and it goes off down my T-shirt. So then she's talking this, that, and other, and then when she sets up more stuff, and they're talking about this, that, and other, and then she starts... And it's the noise that gets you. It's just the high pitch. Yeah. And then you go, where it hits something, you're like, like you've got a gimp ball in. And it gets to the point where she goes, let me know if it starts hurting, raise your hand. Well, obviously, I've got my hands crossed, I've interlocked.
Yeah.
I've interlocked my feet so I don't kick out. And my heartbeat's thumping now. And she goes a bit deep. And instead of raising my hand, I kind of move my head back, jolt it back into the chair. There's nowhere for me to go. And she's doing this. I can't. To be fair, she's put a lovely aesthetic, she called it, one in. It's lovely. I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
I don't want to look in your mouth.
But, yeah, so after, it went quickly. It was brilliant. Come out, sorted it. The receptionist tried to get me on this dental plan. I told her I'll have a look at it later. Yeah. But for the next 4 hours, it looked like I had a stroke. She goes, don't know what all cold drink, so I've come on, I've been doing more DIY, moving shit about. So I made a coffee, let it cool right down, and then proceeded to dribble it all down my face.
I had that abscess, didn't I? Before Christmas, agony, and then 7 sites where they put the needle in, it was beautiful. But then I had this, to take the tooth out, because it was growing nearly into my cheek, it was all rotting, and he got this, like, looked like a screwdriver for, what's he doing? And he just, like, 4 quick pings, like, and just pulled it in. He went, yeah, you're done for a couple of minutes work. I paid, like, £80-odd.
Yeah, but for that relief and to sort you out.
But then, like, and then you have to be careful of this. I've heard that you get this thing as well when you have a tooth called dry socket. You get that, they reckon it's worse than having an abscess and everything.
God, I don't know.
But you just keep swilling it round. But then obviously, again, I went to get out bus to come home and I took the gauze out and I went, wood ass, and spat all blood down my face. And I had stroke face for ages. And it was like, it was horrified. I think he ended up just like not even charging me right, just let me on bus because, oh.
He definitely thought you were going to spit at him and he'd get like AIDS or something.
Hepatitis. But yeah, and then I've got another wisdom. I've got to have my wisdoms out too. And they're that far back.
Hospital job.
Well, the surgeon comes to the dentist. And ooh. I got a big letter the other day and it was for January 15th and I cancelled it because I freaked out.
Fucking hell.
It said surgery. Because it says surgery.
Yeah. Because they have to cut your gums to get them out, mate.
Blacks your eyes. My mate Adam Dunn, all his chest were bruised because the dentist had to
kneel on his chest and pull them out. We're not trying to freak you out here.
Fucking hell.
No, but they do normally when you go to hospital and they...
tangle after.
Yeah, because it says take someone, a company with you. Yeah. I was going to ask one of you lot, but you'd laugh.
Did they still
go? You'd let me go into Middle Road or something.
I'd poke your face where you did.
No, but back in day, you went to hospital and they have to, because your wisdom is that deep or something about that.
It's
why
the roots.
The roots,
yes.
Are, isn't it?
Yeah. They have to cut your gums and then they do. I'm not trying to freak you out, but my mate had it and he watched it being done as well. They get these like molar clamps, you know, like pliers, and they clamp it. They're designed to clamp around your tooth, and literally they pull. But because your roots are that long and that splayed out, deformed or whatever they are, that the pressure they have to put, like say, they have to kneel on your chest and wrench to get them out. But that's why back in the day.
I still thought you had to go to hospital for it. I didn't know they'd come to your local surgery.
But surgeons will come to the dentist. Yeah. I'm never going, and I hope to go bad. And then hopefully I fall over and I'm not.
See,
going
I thought they put you under anaesthetic when they did it. I didn't.
No,
think
but
they
don't they use laughing gas
no more? They're offering a local, so I don't think they might not be that. Because I had X-rays. X-rays are the worst part of the dentist. That plastic thing you have to put. You
makes
know
me get.
Yeah,
well, I had a brace on for years.
But then and he shoved it in and he went, "Is that okay?" And I went, "Oh!" And then I started to get upset and I could feel tears in my eyes. I thought, I was getting upset in chair. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And it was this plate and then he took it out. And I'm like, "Oh!" I was like, nearly weep. I'm like, "Oh, thanks," because he took it out.
I'm proper rethinking our friendship here. We should kick him off podcast. Fucking crying.
I nearly cried. It hurt because I had that abscess and it was infected and my face.
Yeah.
I told you that Saturday. Yeah. I sat in front of the computer at work and they let me go home at 3:00. I should finish at 7:45. And then it had not swollen up, but then Sunday, all my throat right here, it had all come out and all my face, but I had no pain because once it's come out, it goes, done it.
Well, Mick, who we work with, Mick nearly fucking died from it.
Fucking
it can get serious because blood poisoning.
Mick still got, I think either his bottom or his top lip, he can't move it, he's got no movement in it.
Can you remember when I couldn't drink for 2 weeks, either after, and that would torture that, because I had that
and it's not like we helped you,
antibiotic.
Yeah.
I went out downtown on a Saturday night, drank soda and lime.
It was that when you go out drink, you don't drink, and everybody else is drinking. You're like a ghost,
I'll never
aren't
do it
you?
Again.
You're like a zombie, everybody else is having a laugh, falling about. And
it don't bother me.
It does me, it's horrible. So, phobias then, that's my dentist. The only other one I've got is, spiders don't bother me, I'm tolerant of them. The bigger they are, the more I tolerate them, to be fair. And if there were one of these banana spiders that's as big as your fucking hand, I would squeal and run, because obviously I'm not used to them. See. But the only other one I've got is wasps.
Yeah.
Bees,
are
tolerant.
Me and Chuck know
wasps.
Luke hammers me for that. Luke's a bit calmer.
I will jump out of a moving vehicle. Wasps, I've never been stung, so I don't know if I've got an allergy. But wasps, I mean, bees have got one go in them. They've got one bullet in
them. And I've been stung by it all.
But a bee stings you, it dies because it pulls all its stuff out.
I got anxious when I read in papers last summer that them fucking
killer bees, or
were the Japanese hornets.
Oh, yeah.
They were fucking massive. And then I watched some other week about hornets.
They were as big as that.
Yeah.
About
hornets going into a beehive. And the hornets were beheading bees.
Yeah, they do.
They're just like cutting their heads off. So what the bees figured out were, because hornets are a lot bigger than bees, you don't realise.
Yeah.
So what the bees figured out were, if they swarmed the hornet and flapped the wings,
generated heat, and boiled them. Yeah. It's brilliant,
amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but
that's
how the fuck
nature
would you figure that out?
It's nature.
Swarming, well, fucking get some friction going on.
See, the wasps where they like taking tarantulas down. Yeah, and then they drag them.
See, I know that once as a kid, I got a wasp and it would, I'd swat it with a tea towel and it was still alive, so I chopped it in half. So I don't know why. I'm a kid. So I chopped it in half, and yet, even though it was dead, this top half were dead, the bottom half with this spike, the barb, it was going all over. It was looking to try and stab something, and it was dead. But that's it, they can do multiple stings.
Kill wasps and leave their body there as a warning for other wasps.
But when you do that, they give off an hormone that attracts other bees or other wasps.
Now, I've always been led to believe that, whether it's true, I don't know.
I think it is.
Yeah. But I always used to leave them there as a warning. I still do, even though I know it attracts others.
No, I squeal them out and I get women to come in and sort them out, because I cannot deal with wasps.
Since having my barber shop, I've been calmer, because if you're fucking lining someone's beard around with cutthroat and a wasp comes near you,
squealing without the shop, I would.
Flapping.
I have to do it with patience.
So Google says, I think you're right. Hang on. It says, don't leave outside lights on any longer than you have to at night, since it attracts insects and they eat them. Should also avoid squashing a wasp. The action causes a wasp's dead body to release a chemical alarm that signals other wasps' area to attack.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
So you doing that is causing, going to cause you so much more anxiety.
When you squash a wasp to kill it, it's basically blowing the Horn of Gondor.
Yep. Is that a Game of Thrones reference?
No, it's fucking Lord of the Rings. Shame for not even knowing that.
I don't watch that.
Don't know, because you don't even remember Sean Bean blowing Horn of Gondor, do you,
because, listen, Sean Bean, he dies
in everything.
Yeah, but he's a Sheffield United fan, isn't he?
Yeah, it's actually turned scripts down now.
I'm not bothered about him then.
Sean Bean now is actively turning scripts down because he's fed up of dying in films.
See, I love watching him in Sharp, and he's called everyone bastard. French bastard.
Proper Yorkshire.
Did you watch that video for like 7 minutes of him just calling people a bastard?
I don't like him.
So, any other phobias?
No, phobias. Just wasps.
See, I'm not vertigo. Arts don't bother me.
No, I've been on Empire State.
You know, I'm enclosed spaces don't bother me.
No. Marriage.
Yeah, I've been there, brother. Yeah, twice, bastards.
No, I can't really think of any other phobia. Now, I tell you what, I have got not so much a phobia, but I don't like watching people get stabbed in films. And I think dates back to when I watched Saving Private Ryan, when he stabs him.
Oh, that's one of those horriblest things.
And it's really, it's just slow how he does it. And I can remember, I'd have only been a young teenager, like just shouting at telly, because that bloke were a coward and they let him get killed.
Yeah,
End when he surrendered.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Best war film that's ever been made, that Saving Private Ryan.
It is, but then at the same time, I love that one with Andrew Garfield in it. It made me cry, where we're going, please God, just let me save one more. Where he refused to have a gun.
Oh, Summit Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge.
That's the one.
Yeah, that made me cry, that.
And none of them had gone. No. We're supposed to go. We're not leaving until him is finished praying.
Yeah.
Our quality film.
Because at the start of it, all the old disrespected him. He had a few good ideas and wanted him to leave. And then he was like, please God, just want me to have that rope burn when he were alone.
It's a true story, though.
I know. That's even worse. So I'm just sat there like, I don't show emotion at all. The only other film I've ever cried at is Avengers Endgame. And, mate, we went to cinema to see that.
Yeah, we did.
You know when, spoiler alert, when...
Did I go with you?
No.
Yeah, you went without me, yeah.
Yeah, just like we did for Star Wars.
Jump got a right face on him.
When Captain America, when Thanos has just hammered him after he picked up hammer and he tightens his shield up, and he just said, shh, portal up, and he goes, on your left. I went, I made like a little whimper.
I didn't go with you. You went with you went with your missus.
Did I?
Because I went with my daughter. Because she's young.
Yeah, and because I hid my face from her. So when Sam comes through and says, on your left to Captain America, I did a little... like a little whimper, like tears of joy. And then when they all come through, and then when Spider-Man webbed through, like, fucking hell! And I'm gone. I was just like crying. And then at the end, when like Tony Stark died, that made me cry.
Good. So I went there.
I'm there with my daughter. And my daughter's a big geek. She's a big geek. She's everything.
For me, Marvel, Yondu dying.
Oh,
Guardians.
Yes. Right.
Because he gets a Ravager's funeral.
When Chuck come round, we had a few beers, I purposely put it on.
You put that bit on, I'm getting upset.
And we watched the entire film, and then as soon as it got to that bit where he's going to die, both me and Gaz, both turned and watched Chuck. And Gaz started filming it, and actually, you handled it well, mate, but it is a bit, innit?
I don't handle Avengers, I still cry now. I did it other week with me and Arnie watching it, and I sat crying. He's like, "Daddy, you're right." I'm like, "Shut up."
Get to bed.
See, I love Marvel films. I mean, yeah. You get a lot of people, like these celebrities, calling them saying they're not proper films, they're not this, but it's escapism for me.
You know,
I love them.
Somebody like me, as a kid, read these comics, and I hid it from people because if you read comics throughout school, you got picked on.
Mate, in my era, there were I never knew about comics.
Oh. Were they even printed then when you were born?
No, but seriously, nobody ever, in my school and me growing up, nobody ever had a comic. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's because I were from a little mining village. Where would I have bought the comics from back in that day? Local Mansfield? Would it have been there? Where was it? Where was this place to buy them?
There's comic book shops all over, but obviously, like...
They're more popular now, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's fashion, isn't it, now?
But that's what pisses me off now. I tell you what else pisses me off. When you see lads and lasses walking around in Nirvana t-shirts and Kiss t-shirts, and you look
proper retro
shirts, you don't
shirts.
Even fucking know who they are.
Like Ramones,
Ramones one. Yeah, you've never listened to one. Why lie? It annoys me.
Anyway, let's get off that sad subject. Luke's Luke.
No, go on.
No, you've got something to bring up, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a barber. So I just want to talk about barbering for a bit. I think there's a lack of knowledge surrounding barbering. I really do believe that for the general public.
From personal experience, I agree with that. Because I've had some horrendous cuts
when
I did have a lot of hair back in the day.
It's not just that, but you guys, you know, I own my own shop and I teach barbering at college, and you guys have been into college multiple times.
How were you guinea pig when you first...
did my models. Yeah, you were my
first...
I was his first. But, in the UK, anybody can open a barbershop without any qualifications at all. So you guys could just go open a barbershop now and start cutting people's hair and shaving them with a cutthroat razor. And I find that terrifying, that anybody can just do that. Especially when you look at America. In America, you know, most states you have to have a license to be a barber.
I was just going to do that. I thought, no.
Yeah, most states you have to have a license to be a barber. So that consists of something like 1,500 hours at a college. And then you've got a big exam at the end and you get a license. Where you compare it to England, where, like I say, anybody can just go and buy a shop. Which when you think about the equipment you're dealing with and hygiene... it's terrifying. There's a video on YouTube, I think it's BBC News, where it's only a short video where it highlights hygiene in barbershops and infections, and I show that my students on the first day when they come in. And the amount of students that say, well, my barber hasn't got barbicide in a blue jar outside, my barber's not got clipperside spray.
What is that barbicide? What
is it?
It
just disinfects all your equipment, basically, including HIV. Everything, it just disinfects it all, sterilises
it. What was in there, like combs and scissors and stuff?
Yeah. But the amount of barbers that don't have them. And like, I'm a bit of a weirdo, so when like we go to the seaside or we go out for the day, if I pass a barbershop, I look in. And the amount of barbershops I see...
Well, it's your business, isn't it? Yeah. So you've got an interest.
Yeah, and...
See, I went to the shop once, and they had an old shop. It were on Patchwork Row in Shirebrook. I forget his name, Roy or
Roy Garrett.
He
used to cut my hair.
Yeah, and he had checks, and he was checking. But when he went to cut,
he's still cutting hair now, you know.
Yeah, he stopped and he cut, and then he'd be checking.
But then he'd do that. Oh yeah, if I had to pierce it, he'd be like snip, snip, snip.
Yeah,
really quick, snip, snip, snip.
Yeah. And it'd slow just for
Roy
that.
Roy Garrett did me.
But
some
he had this
weak
hair. He had this device like a UV. And you here we go again, Chuck farting again.
Yeah, it's UV, it sterilises you.
Yeah, and you used to put your scissors and everything under it, and it'd be like UV light.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that in any other shop.
Yeah, we've got him at college.
Yeah, shout out to Roy Garrett, he was a legend.
He's still cutting now.
I can remember, I went in one day, and he always used to have this dead old stereo, but it was the most crystal clear for playing music. And I went in, and it weren't there, and I went... Where's your stereo gone? And he goes, I've been reported for playing music.
Yeah, you have to have two.
And I went, are you joking? Music. He went, I only put it on so everybody's got a bit. And it was Radio 2 or something he had on, an old station. But it used to play
the
really good music. And it was the quality of it. It was just a little battered stereo.
Well, it's like me, I have telly, but I play radio through my telly. And I have to have two licences. Well, three. I have to have
the
TV licence and
fact,
two music
the
licenses.
Fact, I mean... It was
you
an old
have to
man.
Have a TV license. Just get rid of that. No, what do pay for
I ain't got
that.
A TV license now.
No, because it's just for BBC.
I've got no aerial in my ass. I ripped first day I moved in. I ripped it clean out the wall at the back, cut it and rolled it up, I have got no, and I informed, I went online and told them I've not got one. But they're gonna come and check on me in 2 years. Wow. The candle. Sorry for diversion.
No, right. But yeah, so England, the UK, anybody could just open a barber's, and I think we should adapt more of an American style where, you know, you go to college, you do X amount of hours and have an exam. I mean, I teach at college, and I'll be honest, the standard of the courses at college are not great. They're really not. In a lot of colleges, you've got hairdressers teaching barbering. When I did my course at college, it was a hairdresser teaching my
but the two different course. And I'm not even there, yeah. But I know that's two yeah. different yeah. styles yeah. and everything.
I can any man can walk into my shop with an haircut. I could do it. I could not do a female's haircut at all. It's a Perm. Different kettle of fish. So the fact that they've got hairdressers teaching barbering is stupid. And then you've got people opening training academies who have got fucking no qualifications at all. And they're offering people like 8 week courses and people paying $3,500 for these courses. How much? Yeah, $3,500 to do an 8 week course.
Shall we open one of these academies?
Oh, yeah.
You don't need any qualifications either. People are just offering, we'll train you up, $3,500, 8 week course, you'll be shop floor ready. That's fucking impossible to be shop floor ready in 8 weeks. No Fuck way, no how. Don't get me wrong, some of these academies, they are really good. And, you know, some of them you do get either a sitting girls or a VTCT qualification, and some are good. But I think to say somebody is going to be shop floor ready in 8 weeks is a joke.
I mean, obviously, yeah. you're going to get people that tech to it a lot quicker than others, you know.
Definitely. I've had students who have took to it like a duck to water, and some who have really struggled. But it's an industry at minute barbering where I think people can make a quick buck. They can make a lot of money. So you've got barbers doing 1 day courses where they'll charge a couple hundred quid for you to go and watch them cut, or like
clicking out. Yeah. They think they can barber after that.
Yeah, people taking clipper master courses where you'll go there for a day and they'll show you basic clipper work. And it's an industry that's being oversaturated with shit. Basically,
well, it's a fashionable industry at minute, isn't it? Beards are in and all this stuff. Yeah, barbers, yeah. I mean,
old school barbering's in, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I go to Thailand a lot, and even out there, first time I went out there, I couldn't even find a place to get an haircut because I've been out for 3 weeks. Yeah. I needed a trim, couldn't find one. Go back like now, every corner there's a barber. Everywhere you go, there's a barber.
Well, it's like in the UK now. Your high streets, your villages are oversaturated, and I'm going to sound racist saying this here, but with your Turkish barbers, I mean, quite a lot aren't even Turkish, the Kurdish, Iranian, yeah. whatever. That's a big problem, because a lot of these aren't registered barbers. They've not registered. Unqualified barbers, they've not got qualifications. They're reusing razor blades that they've used on another person. You know, I know that firsthand. I've had people tell me, I've been in barbershops myself where they've used a razor on someone and then used it on the other person. I don't blame your Turkish barbers or any others for opening. I blame the local councils. If your local council needs to take a look at your high street and think there's already two barbershops there, they don't need to be three, four or five more. I mean, you go to Sutton, on the main high street in Sutton, I think there's 6 or 7 Turkish barbershops yeah. there.
You know where you come out of McDonald's? I've been into town today. You know where that little chad shop is on corner?
Yeah.
That street, is that where Industrium and that is?
Yeah.
Regent Street. Yeah,
well, the other one where that florist is and you go, there's three.
Yeah, Regent. Yeah.
There's three yeah. on that street and yeah. there's two next to it. And I'm like, well how was that I can beat work? That.
In Sheffield.
There's no competition, really.
Sheffield, no. There's loads.
Oh, down one particular street. There must be about 16 kebab shops and about same barbers.
That's same on that main strip of road into Nottingham as well. Yeah. When you go in there.
It's ridiculous, but they're all busy because the size it obviously. But yeah. they've got the local ones where they're not good to them because they're not the same from the same country as them originally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like that. It's loyalty, and there's so many of them.
Like we go to, we've got a friend who's got a caravan in Flamborough, and we'll go to their caravan at love least once. I love it there. And we go to Bridlington, and there's. The amount of years we've been going there now, and there's quite a few Turkish barbers open there. And it's getting to the point where, I mean, your Turkish barbers will open 7 days a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll work long hours. They put the hours in. I can't call them for that. But you've got an English barber who I know there, who's had a barber shop there for years, and he's lowered his price to £3.50 and £4.50 for an haircut.
just to try and compete.
Which is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
It really is. But
surely he must have them cuss loyalty where he knows that they're coming. You can see what kind of quality haircut you get.
But people aren't educated on haircuts. Like, you'll go in and your Turks will offer you, they'll thread your eyebrows, they'll shape your beard, they'll flame your ears and stuff. Without asking you, they'll just do it.
And they'll charge you.
Fucking hell, this is mint, I'm being pampered here. But then all of a sudden it's £26.
I've had that.
Yeah, after you've had it done.
Turkey.
But your Turks are really good at making people think they need that, and that's good.
They tried to get them to my armpit here. Oh, wait, you can feck off.
Yeah. And,
what, with flames?
No, they're trying to... Honestly, you go in, I say, I just want to cut. No, I went in for a proper Turkey shave. I'd had an haircut. Yeah. I said, I just want a shave. That's it. So they did that. Then I said, haircut. I said, I'm all right. And it snip, above. They went away. Because I'd already had it done, dead short. Then with shave, then it ears. Then it's even doing a massage. Then I went to lift my armpit up. I went, what are you doing? Because I shaved. No. But then it ended, and it ripped my face to bits, and they put this lemon soap or whatever they use.
Oh, yeah.
My face went bits. It chaved it up. It can't have been a new blade.
Yeah.
And I honestly, one of the worst experiences I've ever had. I've
been to them Latvians up on near Specsavers, aren't I? Remember when you used to go there? And I come to you, and you were like, you could tell you've been there, you've been scalped.
You have. I mean, a lot of people are very uneducated, like... I sound like I'm shitting on Turkish barbers here. I'm not. I know quite a few Turkish barbers, and they're fucking really good. So I'm not. I know a lot of English barbers who are shit. So please don't think I'm just shitting on Turkish barbers here. But people are uneducated when it comes to haircuts. Like, with your crown, predominantly Turkish barbers will just whack people's crowns off. Like, you've had it done with yours, and then when it grows back, it's growing back, and then it takes me 2 or 3 haircuts to sort that crown out.
Because I was messaging you and saying, why is it doing this?
And it's, people are very uneducated about haircuts, and I think regulating the industry, just making people fall under an organisation. I'll not name any organisations, but... Just say it so people have to be registered. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to be qualified, because I've got a barber that works for me. She's been a barber a lot longer than me, and she's got no qualifications, but she's fucking brilliant. She can do any cut. So, you know, if you've been in the business X amount of years, you can still get registered. You don't have to have a cut. Or do a trades, means test or whatever.
Councils aren't going to turn it down because it's more revenue for them.
Yeah. We're in an industry that will never, ever be regulated because it's not high on anyone's agenda. Especially when you've got Brexit and all this other shit that they need to deal with. But you've got, like I say, it's just, I don't know what they're going to do with regards to barbering. I really don't.
Well, it needs regulating, like you say.
It just needs looking at in general. I mean, you've got people in barber industry that would rather be Instagram famous than actually have a business in the local community, the local area, and make money.
Yeah,
you know, being famous on Instagram is like being rich in Monopoly.
People are making a killing from it, though, aren't they? Influencing and stuff like that. And it's like people are doing like proper trades,
but not barbers. Barbers are making no money. They're not uploading photoshopped pictures on Instagram. All that does then is give us real barbers. When they bring in, I want my hair cut like this. Man, that's Photoshop. It's never going to be like that.
Yeah.
I think that's my rant done on barbering, I believe, but something needs to be doing. The hazards and dangers by having an unregulated business is not good. It's really not. And you know, whether that falls on your barbers, your local council, the government, something needs to happen to regulate it.
Yeah.
But I'm probably fucking boring everybody to death now, because that's probably the most serious I've ever been on it.
But no, it's you're passionate about it, Luke, and I love that. And we're all, it's nice to see someone actually passionate about the work, because some people just work for working sake and fucking hate
the
job.
Just to get the money.
And we all have our moments, don't we? But me and Lee, to look at us, you wouldn't think we actually care, but we're in actually quite caring jobs. You've done it, definitely. Luke, and to look at you, you think, fucking hell, but it's hard to do. Yeah. And for you to totally change profession, train up and to get to the level you've got now. I'm not blowing smoke up your arse again. I said that last week, didn't I? But I off to you for change. I've not got the bollocks to do that. I'm setting my ways.
I couldn't have done it without Verity, though.
I like routine.
Fucked without her.
Shout out to Verity.
Yeah. Big up, financially.
Big up, Bez.
That's it.
But yeah, but I mean, barbering, it's so popular at the minute. And like, it's evolving. I mean, you're going from where people, men will just walk into a barber's and queue for ages and they just have a short back and size now, where a lot of barber shops, myself included, are running appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, men, like we were talking about on this first podcast with manscaping and stuff like that, you know, men are wanting to look better. Every week, I get people come in every single week for an haircut.
But like you say, for fashion and that, and for like this industry, it's like same with tattooing.
Yeah.
Again, in Thailand, you won't find a tattoo shop. Now there's tattoo shops down every side of the street.
Same with vape shops and all that.
Yeah, well, this is it. And I mean, for
vaping
tattooing,
does cause popcorn and everywhere.
For tattooing, you can see on Facebook, there's a page, and the tattoos that people now are giving out, they're getting them out free. They think, oh, I'm getting it free, but they're doing it in their kitchen or their lounge living room.
Yeah.
So there's no hygiene regulations in that property. There's no... And they're using the same needles where, I mean, now some shops, the needles are thrown away. Mm. They should be on every customer, the disposable needles. But some people are still sterilising them and using them again. And they're buying a second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand sterilizer off eBay or something.
Is this tattooing on?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, sorry, I was lost on the internet and trying to find a funny story, sorry. Sorry, everyone.
But again, isn't tattooing, is that another unregulated?
It is. To a degree, I know my friend owns a tattoo shop, and he trained in another tattoo shop as an apprentice. Where you learn your trade, you learn your hours and hours of drawing.
Yeah.
And now he's got a very successful business and he's got apprentices.
Yeah.
And they are really good again. But you learn your skill. And he, like when he first started, he used to get, you know, people going in for free just to practice on him. You know, you get a free tattoo, but, you know, I've got to learn my trade. And he gets discounts on this because he wants to learn how to do this, he wants to learn how to do shading, he wants this, that, and other. But now he's learnt all that and he's passing his knowledge on. But again, his hygiene, he has a woman come round. Apparently, he has a woman. And they have to have so many sinks in this room. They have to have running water. They've got to have this. They've got to have that. And the council come round and they check him for hygiene and everything. And he's got to have this, that, other. So that bit's regulated. But as for tattooing, I could go in there now. I think you do have to have a licence. I think now, yeah. Any of you guys that know tattooists out there and you know all this, please, on Twitter, what's it, Chuck?
Well, our Twitter handle...
At This Is My Lad Resort.
Your voice has dropped, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that, like, we tattoo...
But everybody now, you see all these tattoo shops open up and the people, they can't tattoo.
I've had cellulitis twice, and that's a really bad infection. If anyone wants to Google that, it leads on to sepsis, meningitis and everything. I was fucking ill, they were going to admit me, and I'm a right panicker, and I was like, in A&E, I was like, I'm not going to die, am I? They were like, no, but it is bad.
See, I feel like I've not done talking about barbering justice because I've kind of just ranted and
but come on, let's get back in.
No, because I don't think there's anything else to add. It's an industry that will never be regulated, and it's an industry where there's always going to be a risk factor because of barbers who aren't trained or qualified or hygienic. But I don't think anything... There's a few organisations out there like that are trying to regulate the industry, but I just don't think it'll ever happen. I really don't.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because it's sort of like taking food out of your kid's mouth, really, isn't it? I know you've got college and stuff and you're training people, you're getting full courses, and it's just adding to, like, all the barbers out there. And you'll get some good ones, really good ones come through, but you've always got that job to sort of fall back on.
Yeah, it's a trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll always have. But I just think when you look at, like, say, America, they have 1,500 hours at college and they have to have a licence and sit an exam. It's compared quality, to that, here, where any Tom, Dick and Harry. And again, you look at the standard of barbering in America as well, it's fucking phenomenal. Not all, they've got shit ones like we have over here, but, you know, quite a lot of the American barbers I've seen.
It's like that film Barbershop, and I've watched watched other, like, say, documentaries. You go in there and you're there for hours, and to do a proper fade, and this bloke had it, and he said it was so fresh, and this and other.
Yeah.
And to get it perfect, not one hair out of place. It's been ages and ages, and yeah, I say it costs a bit of money.
I've got a few American friends on Facebook who are barbers, And I mean, their standard haircuts range between $60 to $120.
Fucking
just
hell.
Just for an haircut.
They have to book in, don't they? Regular bookings.
Yeah, over here. I mean, like, I charge a tenner for an haircut, which a lot of my friends who are barbers are like, fucking hell, that's really cheap. But then this local barber to me, this local barber cuts one of our friends' hair. And this local barber, I'm not saying on here.
Who's the friend?
I'm not saying on here, I'll tell you after. But this local barber charges this person £3.50 for an haircut, and that's the only reason they won't come to me, because he says, yeah, but you're going to charge me a fucking tenner where that other barber charged me £3.50. I just think that is fucking mental. That, you know, somebody's charging somebody £3.50. £3.50 for an haircut.
That's
fucking, and he has a fucking skin fade as well. And a beard shape.
Purely to spite you, then. This other barber's doing it to spite you. Because they must know that you're friends.
Yeah, but fucking, how can you justify £3.50?
Because it's not giving it you. It's keeping your friend from your shop.
It just disrespects the fucking trade, though.
Well, can't be a very good barber then, can he?
I don't know, but that's another thing that needs looking at. Like, you look at the catchment area people are in, right, that's how much you should charge for an haircut in that area.
Yeah.
Obviously, London's always going to be more expensive than, like, Mansfield area and that. But, as a whole, the industry needs looking at. So, your big fucking zit.
I've just fucking tried to pop it. I've nearly fucking just passed out.
Lee's got a massive zit on his face. Must be like an ingrowing hair.
I'm not being funny. If it gets any bigger, I'm going to start calling it Quaid.
Fucking
anyway, Quaid. You mentioned Thailand when I went about barbering. Come on, you've been to Thailand several times.
Why don't you do a funny story this week? You must have some great stories from Thailand, like that time you slipped that bloke one. I've been dying to get that art.
Yes, I have been to Thailand and I've heard every joke about ladyboys and everything.
And Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
That is your idol.
Wow.
Fucking
hell.
Wow. I nearly spat orange everywhere then.
Yeah, but,
Lee,
right.
Lee, that's the point where you meant to deny that Gary Glitter is your idol.
You're not fucking said out.
Oh, I'm going daggers.
Yeah, I can't stand that man.
But yeah, so come on. Tell us about Thailand.
Well, it started, basically, I'd 7 years ago. Chuck's pretending to die. basically, I'd split up from an ex-wife and I was on my own and one of my other mates. We went, I said I needed a holiday because, well, I'm booking, so where shall we go? And it just come up, so he had a friend that had been out there. So
would he have gone on his own if you didn't go with him?
I don't know, mate. Yeah. He has other mates. He's travelled world, though, Dave has. He's gone around the world. He's done some travelling, mate. He's a well-seasoned traveller. So we said we'll go there for a bit. So we went for 10 days. It was all new to me. First time, to be brutally honest, I'd gone abroad with what I'd consider without adult supervision. You know, because before I'd been with my family it were ex-wife's woman, there'd already been other older people there. So it's like, hang on a minute, I've got to sort all this out myself. I've got to get my passport. I've got to get the money. I've got to do all this myself and book everything. But we did it. And for the 10 days we were there first time, it were a very sharp learning curve. It's a strange country, you know, we don't speak English.
Yeah.
And it were brilliant, though. The food is to die for. Anybody that likes spicy yet flavoursome food, you'll not find any better food than Thai food.
I've never been to Thailand, but because Lee talks about it 24/7, I can name you every single bar in Thailand.
believe it or not, I must have meant the tip of the iceberg is what I've told you about, the bar scene in Thailand. There are more bars in Thailand than you can imagine. You can fathom it. You could go in every bar and have one drink and you wouldn't do it in a year.
Fuck off.
I'm being serious.
Fuck, I'd do it in a night.
You wouldn't. There's thousands, mate.
What about pubs, not bookies?
Wow. There are thousands.
Everyone's going to be dying for this story soon, aren't they?
We're just going to build it up and tell everyone episode 50.
Episode 50, like, Chuck, and I'll be a quivering wreck. Carry on, but, mate.
Yeah, it's like it's an 11.5 hour. We travel down to Heathrow. We paid National Express for whatever money return. Get down to Heathrow and flow out from there because it's a lot better. First couple of times we did indirect flying, we have a layover. And then, like,
go on, name country, Arab state.
Dubai.
Stayed in Dubai, Kuala Lumpur, Umpa Lumpa Flumpa.
Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore one. We actually flew past Thailand to land to have a couple hours stay. Will you stop sniffing yourself?
I'm not. And I keep getting a whiff of something dodgy.
It's his feet. It's
fucking Lee.
I don't know.
And then fly back on ourselves. But yeah, quick, anybody that's thinking, because I've got a lot of people, because they know I go out there, I get a lot of people asking me all about Thailand and what's it like out there, how much does it cost, this and other. So I want to give a very, very quick roundup. Don't fly with Qatar Airlines. They are utter shit. You are like a chicken in a battery cage. There's no room. Emirates, I flew with them. Their lumbar support in their seats is shocking. The food's amazing.
Who's bothered about fucking lumbar supports? You're going on holiday.
Yeah, but you know when you've got an 11-hour flight, 11-hour or 11.5-hour flight, you're sat there for that time. You need to be comfy, mate.
Fucking lumbar support.
Yeah, you went to your try it, pal.
When you said you were going to get advice about Thailand, I didn't think you were going to be talking about planes. I thought you were going to be like, look, just put your hands in the crotch if
it's... Right. Yeah, so just
check if they've got a dick before you get back to you.
Right, so right, if this is what people want to know, the seedy side of Thailand, because yes, it does exist, which I don't really want to talk about. I'd rather talk about the actual, you know, the people, the culture.
You talk about what you want, then it's just me lowering. Yeah, no, right. So we'll
do the lower bit first, the seedy side. If any of you men want to go out there and have interrelations, put your pants back up, Luke. Yeah, there is the seedy lifetime, and from what you've heard off your friends that have gone out there before, it is like that. You can pick women up, they come up to you. You can work in a go-go bar, and you can...
What's a go-go bar?
A go-go bar is basically
a strip bar.
It's not a strip, it's more like pole dancing bar.
Right.
Where there's certain kind where you walk into the building, they've got curtains, and you walk in and they shut them, and then they've only got knickers wrapped around the wrist with a number on. And if you want, you can... They dance, they all dance, you don't pay to get in. It's
so they've got fuck all on?
In these, yeah, but these are the ones where you've got curtains, you walk in, they've got bouncers on the doors, right. And you walk in, and they'll all be dancing, and they do all this dancing stuff, and they're all there with nothing on apart from the knickers wrapped around the wrist, and they all wear a number badge. So if you like that one, like you like number 48, you can point, and there's always a mama-san, an older one, woman that walks around making sure you've got drinks, because they always check your drinks. Because if you get down to the last bit of your drink, somehow they can see into a black bottle and know exactly how much alcohol you've got left. And they'll come up and they'll give a little check, and they'll know and say, you want one more? Go on, then I'll have another. And they know. And then if you like number 48 or 43 or whatever you want, you'll come and you'll buy her a lady drink, as they call it, which is normally a vodka Red Bull, double vodka Red Bull. And it's like... Your drink might cost you equivalent to £2 for a bottle, depending on what time of day, if it's happy hours on.
Yeah.
Her drink will cost you a fiver, which a percentage of that goes to the girl and the rest goes to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thailand is money orientated. That is, they are very patriotic to the king, and then it's money.
Is
then
he
it's
king or the emperor? Is
it? No, he's a king. The king died and his sons took over, so they've got a new king.
China's emperor, though, isn't it?
But they are so patriotic to their royal family, it is unbelievable. Nothing worse you can do than disrespect and call their royal family. It is so bad. Even in the cinemas, there's a thing comes on before the film starts, and it's all a montage of the king in with a full dress on with his sword and this. Everybody stands up. You stop talking, you stand up, and you've got 5 minutes montage of the king as appreciation for the king.
Yeah.
No talking, you stand there. If you don't, they give you the right evils.
So, like, going back to these, like, bars, I'm going to drop the level way down. Right. So, you know, if you got in there and you were pissed up and you started, like, having sex with one...
You don't. Then no, you
think,
it don't happen.
No, but also, say, like, a prostitute or whatever or anything, and then you think, they've got a dick. Would you carry on or would you stop? Because if I were bladded, right. I'd carry on and then I'd...
I've heard feel that, stories. Like, my dick
had gone all the way through.
Wow. Right, I've heard stories. I've never seen anything. I have a lady boyfriend.
I have proper lowered the tone on this part.
She's
sorry.
Amazing. I call her she because they say they bought it wrong, you know. I've heard the stories. I've heard the most outrageous stories. I've heard everything. Where they think they've got a girlfriend at night, they go back to the hotel room, and then next minute, obviously, they're informed.
You've told me, though, that they have to legally tell you.
No, they've got to legally they carry
lanyards or
no. Oh, Mr. Lee, I bought.
No, they have lanyards with different colours for the different price ranges in some bars because obviously right. they've got not bad looking girls and they've got good looking girls and they've got stunning girls.
Yeah.
They work at different bands and different costs.
Right, yeah.
Because for you to take a girl and pay the bar fine to take that girl out of the pub, the bar, is 10 a class as you're costing that bar money because you've removed one of its best dancers
right.
from the bar, which and you. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, there's many a story where you get guys taking these girls back to the room and then all of a sudden it's not a guy, it's a girl when they tell them. Now, just looking at the Adam's apple nowadays don't work because they're having laser treatment and they're taking all these hormonal replacements.
Sure, you can tell when you look down and see they've got size 10 no, feet and no. Right, this,
no, because they've been on, what's that woman? We have an
Evening estrogen. Primrose.
Yeah. No, we have testosterone, women estrogen. Have estrogen. So these are having estrogen injections or whatever they have from being children because they think they're in the wrong body from being that age. So they don't develop big areas.
That is another subject for another time there where they think they've got.
Yeah.
And but don't forget, get onto that one,
don't forget, Thai people are not a naturally big race of people.
No.
They are very petite. They are. And. I've heard a story, and I know it's true because the...
You were there.
No, I wasn't there. I was there the week before. I stayed in the hotel, and we got on very well. Because it was the first time we've been there.
Yeah.
We got to know the boss, the manager of the bar downstairs. She, I said we're friends on Facebook and that, and she told us the following week, a man come running down, screaming into the bar, where he took a girl back to the room, and he come running down 10 minutes later, screaming, call the police. And they goes, what's going off? And then next minute the ladyboy comes down, because you pay me. And he goes, I didn't know you were a lady. You should have told me you were a ladyboy. And she's going, pay me now. And I go, and the bar staff and the manager's going, pay her as she will go. Because I'm not paying. She lied to me. And they're screaming, pay the girl to go. Yeah. Pay her. And that the ladyboy, you know, should have told him, but they don't. Yeah. Some don't, some do. So obviously he's sending up screaming, I'm not paying you, I want you to call the police. And next minute a moped screamed up outside the bar, because they're all open bars, there's no doors, because it's hot out there, they don't need them.
Yeah.
And a bloke jumped off the back of the bike, moped, walked in, run into the bar, pulled a gun out, put it to the bloke's face. You pay now. And the bar staff are screaming, pay them. And he paid for whatever set price it was.
Oof.
And then they walked off, and he shit himself.
I bet he paid the price for the shitty pants. Well,
apparently,
Jesus.
From what they said, and the next day he checked out and he'd gone home. But yeah, these stories, but that's the dark side of Thailand. I mean, if you go there looking for that kind of stuff, you're going to find it, and you get what you get.
But on the other side, I've seen some absolutely stunning pictures that you've took when you've been away.
Yeah.
And you know, you've told me about all these places you've seen, including American Kickboxing Academy I told you to go to.
Yes, I know we're going to get that one in. Like I say, it's the most beautiful country. They call it the Land of Smiles because the people, even though it is money orientated and they are like surgeons, they can get money out of anywhere. You know, even if it's a couple of quid, they are masters at getting money off you.
Yeah.
But the countryside, the culture, the sights to see. I mean, PP Islands, where they filmed The Beach, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, that's really
the beach,
nice,
look,
isn't it?
When you see the posters, and it is stunning. You go there in person, it's just full of tourists, and you get a lot of Japanese there, a lot of Chinese, and a lot of Indians there, because it's there closer to us, obviously. Australia's 6 hours away, I do believe. Was it more? I can't remember. So they get a lot of Aussies there. Yeah. All over the world, they go to Thailand. But every beach you see, the posters, where it's beautiful. And it was beautiful, but it was snided. One thing with Thailand, it's a very busy place now. Years and years ago, nobody knew about it.
No.
I would like to go, but I think with me being albino, not just the humidity.
The heat kills you, mate. It does. James Bond Island, where the film Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah.
Been there. And again, you know when you're stood there and you're English, you're British, and you're seeing all people from that world stood near the sign doing it the James Bond pose with a gun with the fingers, and you're thinking, I'm English and I didn't even do that.
Did you walk out? Is it Daniel Craig?
Mate, I'm too fat. When I try and walk out at sea, they push me back in.
Oh, boom.
I would recommend Thailand to go, but I'd advise people if they go in to go soon, because a lot of these places now, like Pattaya, and Patong, which is in Phuket,
and Bangkok, they all, because they get more, the quantities of Indian tourists and Chinese, they far outnumber the British tourists and the other tourists.
So are they just going to, do you mean like they're going to up prices?
No, no, they're catering more for these that are going. Like there's more Indian nightclubs playing Indian music, more Indian restaurants, more Chinese restaurants.
There's a bit of Bangor Nights.
There's not, but it's, they take these big companies are buying them.
Cultural.
And it, yeah, it is, all these little bars that have been there since, you know, they first started, they're buying them all out. And they're building these big, like, big nightclubs. And I mean, I don't, when I'm in Thailand, I'm in bed one, two, at latest. I mean, you have a couple of nights where you have a blowout, you don't realise time. It can be 4 o'clock, yeah, but you know, but I don't go clubbing. These clubs are open until the last person walks out. That could be 6, 7 in the morning. And it's
what time do they open now?
Oh, they're open from 10.
Fucking hell, so they're open for like 3 hours.
Not in the morning, 10 at night. Because they've got to clean it all. And but then again, you know, you put your bars, all your normal bars, they're open 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And you can drink all day.
But what time do your normal bars shut then?
Your normal bars, it all depends. We were there when, do you remember when the military did a coup?
Yeah,
we were there.
But didn't they literally, when they said shut down, everybody
we
just
was there and
shut down, didn't they?
There's a place in Phuket Patong, Bangla Road. You can YouTube that, you'll see some amazing videos. The army started at the top. And they walk down. Now, normally these bars are up until 2, 3 in the morning. Yeah, 10 o'clock. It was ridiculous. Sure. Two army were walking down with a torch in the hands, flashing into the bars. A couple of flashes into a bar, the wave of the torch. So the bar staff seen them. They had half an hour then to shut the bar. You could have just bought 8 drinks. Like, we're closed now. No more alcohol is being served. You've got half an hour. They've got to be shut. If they weren't shut, the army come and they didn't find them.
Just smash it.
They just smashed the bar to bits. Everything got smashed. Everything. As a lesson. That's when the army took over.
But respect, isn't it?
No, it's just that you don't fuck about with time.
Yeah, your respect.
But it is a corrupt country, though. It is a corrupt, the police.
That's when you got done on milk.
I was just going to say that story. You told me, then you pay them off, don't you?
Yeah, you have to. It is a thing. If you open a business,
they had shitty pants when they turn around and they fucking chase them.
Yeah, when they're pulling guns out on you, you do tend to pat your zen. But no, it's this is a thing what they are trying to eradicate. They're trying to get out of this cycle of people being like corrupt and
you're
that.
You're never going to get out of that.
But
money talks.
It is, and when you set a business up, you're told that you've got to pay your electric bill, you've got to pay your rent, you've got to have a police bribe, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and it is fact. You get pulled over by police.
Is there any local, like, obviously, you know, you've got to bribe your police officers, but is there any local, like, gang, like, protection gangs, like, you know, pay us, we'll look after your bar, make sure no shit happens?
But I had a friend that did get jumped by 3 men saying this, and he just ended up, because he were a Viking, he just ended up fating them all. He just said fuck you and fucking started smacking them.
See, I'm going to sound really racist here, but I would fucking hate to fight with someone Oriental, because I just assume they all know some form of martial arts.
Fucking, yeah, definitely.
100%. It probably sounds racist, doesn't it, saying that, but I just...
Have you watched a Muay Thai fight? Muay Thai fights.
Muay Thai, yeah.
They can kick concrete posts and it don't hurt the legs.
You see that guy?
They condition the body from being kids, though. I know Dan Hardy, who's a UFC fighter, is from Nottingham. He was saying, because he spent a lot of time in Thailand and China and places, he's conditioned his shins to the point where his shins are just, it's not glass as a bone, it's like pure like
honeycomb.
Calcium.
Yeah, it's honeycomb. They call it honeycomb.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you keep breaking it,
yeah.
It forms and it makes him stronger.
I can't remember what UFC, I don't know if it was Bas Rutan, there's somebody where they've done it with the knuckles, and basically their knuckles are just one big fucking like callus, if you like, just a big knuckle, because they've just conditioned them on palm trees and
it's ridiculous.
Things. Yeah.
See, but the thing is, though, in the 6 years I've gone out there, I know it is 6 continuous years, I seen one act of violence, and that was an Australian young lad, top, had his shirt off, and it was the second year I was there, because our friend Harry, he was, and his girlfriend, his Thai girlfriend at the time, was giving us a tour around Bangla, and there was this nightclub, so we're going to go into this nightclub. And as we were walking up this alleyway to go into the nightclub, there was this bloke, young lad, shirt off, running at these bouncers head first with his arms down by his side.
Fucking
just hell. Running, trying to headbutt these bouncers. And these were European bouncers. Big. I'm not saying that they was on steroids, but it was oozing out. You could just see they were dying to strip off, oil up.
and, you know, pull on a piece of towel between them.
It was absolutely,
you know, like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that gorilla that on that nightclub door.
No.
When Bob Hoskins goes into that nightclub to watch Jessica Rabbit.
Loads about films.
Mate, my brain is not wired up right. I can't remember kids' birthdays, but I can remember stuff happening in films.
I'm like that with music.
I'm like that with...
But you can imagine a couple of, you know, double the size silverbacks. These are these bouncers. They didn't know how to handle the guy. Because they're not. Their size normally intimidates people.
Yeah.
Where this guy was obviously bladdered and he kept running at him. And I'll go back to days where I was working with, as what we were doing in healthcare. And I'm thinking, well, we could, two of us could quite easily get him in an arm lock and we'd escort him away.
Yeah.
These were just pushing him and pushing. And I started laughing at him, which didn't go down well. So anyway, this bloke's friend come and got him in a fireman's lift and walked him off. Well, carried him off. And then we were going into the nightclub. So my friend went first and with his girlfriend, and then my mate went, Dave went through, and then I went, and they stopped me. They put me through metal detector. They patted me down. Not like a normal gentle pat. Basically, they slapped my body all over. And I just carried on laughing at them because I'd had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And it didn't go down well at all. But that's the only violence I've seen in Thailand. And that was a drunk Australian lad. You don't see... Thais fighting, but if you do see Thais fight, oh sorry, I've seen a Thai couple fighting, did I? Yeah, you don't get involved because they will stop fighting each other and turn on you.
Right, so podcast is coming to end the recording. I'm alright to carry on and start. Does anyone else want to carry on, or are we wrapping
we up? We can go over a few minutes if we go over for a few.
Yeah, let's like that. We've been quite serious again.
We've been very serious.
I've got a funny story.
Let me.
Oh, God.
We'll wrap this up here. I'll start a new recording. Yeah, we'll just carry on.
Just carry on with this. Yeah. We've got 4 minutes.
Right, we're back. Hopefully, it just continues and there's not a long break in it. But go on. What have you found for us then, Chuck?
Right. Oh, God, it killed me. I saw this the other week. Loads of people will have seen it, but... this bloke, he was proud to stretch 27 loom bands around his dick. It says, the headline is, I was proud to stretch 27 loom bands around my willy. And then in big red capital letters, it says, then my bellend burst.
Oh, shit.
And it was, obviously, this is true, because it's in Sunday Sport. Loom bands are nothing if not versatile, they said. Users have made them into bracelets, belts, badges, even dresses. But Andrew Finch has turned them into a popular rubber trinket into an improvised sex toy.
And,
we're going to start recording this podcast as soon, I'll be able to show you pictures, but I'm just going to show the lads. He looks like he puts loom bands around his dick.
How do you get a loom band around your dick? They're tiny.
It must have a small dick.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
You can screenshot it, do it, and that can go on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's another thing, guys. We will start loading stuff up on Twitter, so please follow us and subscribe and all that crap.
Yeah.
On Twitter, please.
We're going to get a YouTube page up as well. We're going to start recording us visually.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. But yeah, follow us on Twitter, and we're going to put some other pictures up of us, obviously, so you know. You could put a face to the name, the voice. I've just said that all totally wrong, Anna. Yes. Go on, you say.
Name to the face.
That's the one.
There you go.
We'll get there in end, you know.
I'll tell you what I want to talk about. When we watched Game Changers back in early December.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of coverage of that lately.
Yeah, loads. Obviously, me and Chuck did go vegan.
Let's talk about it.
Use this Stanley glass here. I'll hold it.
It'll probably taste better than that orange he's drinking.
So did I do 3 week?
Did 3 week, you did longer than me.
Yeah, I did 4 week then.
Yeah.
Whether it was just I literally went from eating shit, just eating what I wanted when I wanted, to then eating clean, doing a vegan diet.
Plant-based.
It is vegan.
Is it the same?
Vegans, they don't, like, I've got a leather wallet, I wouldn't be allowed to have that if I was vegan.
Yeah, so it's a plant-based diet, but you couldn't have...
So, that's the better way. We did a... that sounded like Chewbacca, that far.
Every podcast you do, at least.
So, we did a plant-based diet. I stuck it, I'm sure it was for about 4 weeks.
But I literally went from just eating what I wanted when I wanted, which were a shit diet really, to a proper diet, if you will. And I'll be honest, I felt fucking mint for them 4 weeks. I suffer from IBS, and cutting, what I believe, cutting the dairy out and the what is it? Is it like gluten that's in your bread and stuff? Yeah. Cutting all that out, my bowel movement was regular.
But wouldn't that have been the same if you'd have just ate clean but with meat in it also?
Probably. I think my IBS comes from milk and bread. I think I might be lactose intolerant and a bit sensitive to gluten. Yeah. So it just sounds so fucking weak saying that as a man, don't it? But
if it stops you shitting through iron needle.
Oh yeah. But
horrendous stomach pains as well.
Yeah, you do. But I just felt so much better. Obviously, the Game Changers documentary talked about your erections being better.
Seen that.
And stuff. And,
you know, one day they had this and they only had such and such erections in their sleeping pattern. The next day we gave them this.
Yeah, I was still single and wanking five times a day, so it made no odds to me.
See, well, I don't have any problems in that department anyway. Augusta
wins.
Augusta wins only got.
I get one on bus.
So
you get? Do you get ever get road bone? You know, in cars.
I do at work. Yeah. It's very.
It's a genuine thing. Road bone.
You have to readjust.
The scary thing is though, with Chuck saying he gets it on buses. Chuck actually catches the same bus as kids do to school.
You can't say that, you cunt. No, I don't. It's
no,
that
you
don't.
It's when they're leaving school.
hell.
But yeah, I felt mint on that vegan, on the plant-based diet. How did you feel on it?
I don't think, I just felt, you know, they were going on about more energy and all that. I don't think I felt more energised. I felt like I was doing my body some real good, though. It did feel good, eating well, and I just trained the same, and
didn't it claim that it would unclog your arteries of cholesterol? No.
Yeah, it did.
Is that factual? Because I know a lot of people said that it was very biased, this plant diet.
Joe Rogan's done two podcasts where he's had the guy on that did the documentary. I can't remember his name now. He was an MMA fighter. He had him on, and then an expert in that field, like a doctor. They had them both on together, and I've not listened to it all. It was like a three-hour, 50-minute podcast or something. So I've listened to bits and bobs, but they were basically, they were more trying to prove who was right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong, they were respectful, and when they argued, they backed it up with facts and stuff. But that's the main thing that made me want to try it, is the unclogging your arteries and that.
Yeah.
But when I've looked into it more, I think the unblocking your arteries and that works if you went plant based but whole food plant based, so you didn't have any of this.
You had a full tater.
Yeah, so just proper old food rather than
awful one.
Your corn where you have your vegan mincemeat or your vegan sausages. What they're saying is that's got as much shit in it as a normal piece of steak or a normal burger. So I think. Again, this is just my opinion from what I think they were saying, a whole food plant-based, where it's just solely, you know, fruit and veg is better.
See, but I'm a firm believer, if you have an healthy diet with, like I say, including meat, not processed foods at all, it's going to be just as good for you, surely.
Well, definitely. Can you remember, did you ever watch that Bigger, Faster, Stronger that were on Netflix? The three brothers, the Bell, Mark Bell, Chris Bell, and the other one. We did watch it years ago.
Yeah, we did,
Well, the two brothers that are alive, because one of them died, Mark Bell and I'm sure the other one's got, I can't remember, Chris or something, they follow the carnivore diet where all they eat is meat. That is it. Nothing else. No veg, so, no carbs, no nothing, just pure meat.
Well, they've got a fats then, so you need that.
Yeah, it's good fat.
If you're not on carbs, you need fats.
I don't know how you could do that.
They are ripped. Fuck. They were powerlifters before, so they were big lads, but they were carrying a lot of fat, a lot of body weight, like powerlifters and your strong.
It's like I got that
and,
time.
Yeah. But they are fucking ripped to the bone now, chiseled, and all they eat is a carnivore diet, which Jordan Peterson, who's a famous person, he's obsessed with a carnivore diet, and his daughter, I think she got
motor neurons disease or something. He reckons that's helped earn. He's got, I'm sure it's that disease.
See, but these guys that do that, and we know a lot of bodybuilders, they don't see food as food. They see it as fuel for the body.
Yeah, I know. I can't do that.
It's the mindset.
It's not food. You're not supposed to enjoy it. Just get it down. Yeah, it's fuel. Your body needs what it needs, and I'm going to give it what it needs to do what I want it to do and to get to where I want to be. They don't think of a nice
foodie,
meal.
I fucking love food.
Well, I think with the carnivore diet, I think you can have cheese with it because it's like a good fat.
You need fats.
And I think you can have eggs.
If you don't have carbs, you've got to have fats.
Yeah, well obviously it's your meat's high in fat if you're eating a lot of steak.
Steak and eggs, though.
Like, yeah, a lot of them will go to Five Guys. Like he was saying, he'll go to Five Guys.
Shit food.
And he'll order like four burgers and just throw away buns and eat the burger.
Why don't they just ask for this burger then?
Well, he might just ask for the burger, I don't know, but...
Just on a side note, I think Five Guys is utter shite food.
Five Guys is amazing.
It's
very expensive, though.
It's like a McDonald's, but you can have any topping, all them toppings.
I tried it with crap. My own personal opinion, sorry, guys.
I like it.
But yeah, but I believe, I think with diets and that, if it works for you and you think it works, that's fine. I mean, I watched that... Fat, Sick and Dead years ago. You know where he did the juicer, where he was just drinking juice? I tried that. I managed that for about 3 days and wanted to kill
myself. See, I've noticed all these different diets and different ways of eating and losing weight and training, it always come out. There's always a different... And it's a fashion trend where everybody's like, it used to be, Atkins diet. That it was slimming. Well, all on it is, for majority of people, they say, I've lost 6 pounds.
How many times has Weight Watchers and Slimming World been rebranded?
They've been reinvented. And it all comes down to a calorie deficient diet. That's all it comes down to.
I'm a big believer in everything in moderation. And I always believe that. And then it's true. If you're happy, eat what you fucking want.
I think it depends what you're trying to achieve.
It's balancing it, isn't it?
Like if you want to be a bodybuilder, like some of the friends we've got and people we know, it is your chicken, rice, you're timing it around your meals, your workouts and stuff. And
you know, I've got no but admiration for them guys because it's fucking... I can't do what they do.
No.
I stuck at it for a fair few months and I felt and looked... I fucking looked the best I'd ever looked and I felt amazing, but at the same time, I was miserable as fuck because I was just eating chicken, rice and broccoli 3 or 4 times a day. Fucking like porridge and raisins and stuff. Mm. When it comes to 19 grams of Brazil nuts we treat for a day. It were no.
Fuck no. So you can't tell that you don't have that on pizza or Chinese.
Yeah.
You see, you're supposed to have a cheat day. Well, I hadn't had a cheat meal, and I used to love that meal, and I made sure I enjoyed it.
See, well, we could have a cheat meal when I were doing that diet and proper training. You could have a cheat meal, but it were up to you how big you wanted to make that meal. Yeah. Like a lad that we know, he'd eat till he fucking threw it all up. This one lad we know, he's a bodybuilder. He's really good.
Is over the last few years, he's got immense.
Yeah, his fucking condition is fucking amazing, and he is just the most stubborn, strong-willed bastard ever.
He locked his son in his room, didn't he?
Locked his son in his bedroom when his family had a barbecue. Barricaded his son in the bedroom, just sat there and cried.
Jesus. Fucking yeah. I couldn't do that.
No, and
excuse me.
Yeah, what were I just saying now?
About how stubborn he is and for what diet he had, and
throwing up. Oh yeah, so he'd eat. So literally, his cheat meal, he'd have a massive pizza, and then he'd have like a packet of biscuits after, a tub of Ben and Jerry's after, like 2 liters of fucking
gorge
coke
himself,
gorge, and then he'd throw up everywhere after. Yeah.
Just to the point where he'd done it. Just then, and obviously, it's not like what do they call it when girls used to go down
bulimia.
To put the fingers down.
No,
the
it's not bulimia. It's just
no, but he used to go in that side. So he'd enjoy it, but then half of it had come out, so he never ate all of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, when Rock, he has a cheat meal, he has all them pancakes, he does not eat all them. It's a promo. You can't physically eat that many.
Look at the size of him, though.
Yeah, but look at the size of that, his stomach, after days of eating, weeks and weeks and weeks, because he went weeks without a cheat meal.
But when he did that, when he was training for Hercules, and he got fucking
massive, yeah. And but think he was eating small and often, weren't he? Because that is the one of the major thing is with training. You eat small meals every 3 hours, and it's set.
He were eating big portions because he bulked up, didn't he?
He has 20 pancakes, and they're not like the American pancakes, which you put baking soda. They're not like English pancakes.
But you've got to think as well.
They're massive. A tyre.
I'm not saying he is, and I'm not saying he ain't, but his age
and how he can get big woman in Ripner. He's on fucking gear and he's on growth hormone.
Well, it's definitely. Well, hey, Rock, Dwayne, if you're listening, pal, messages.
He's never gonna admit to that. Same. It seems like you're Mr. Olympias. You know,
it cycles, isn't it?
None of them fucking admit that they're on gear. Exactly. Not whilst they're active,
what,
anyway.
What gets me with this, right? They have this all this drug doping and stuff in sports, right? So why not have official ones where they don't and they're thoroughly tested throughout?
They have. And then, still cheat.
No, but I mean, literally every day they get tested throughout the season because they know a cycle.
It costs too much.
But do that. But then why not have one where you can do as much as you want drugs and then we'll see what happens?
You have. You're world's strongest man. You know, they're only drug tested for, like, you know, cocaine, speed, you know, stuff like that. There's different federations. Your strongman, you've got a clean federation where they're drug tested. And then you've got your world's strongest man, which your Brian Shaws and your Afbo Bjornsson competing. And they're not drug tested for steroids anyway. They're drug tested for, like, amphetamine, speed.
Yeah, but they ought to make it that they can do one, like, two, that split it off where they've got a clean version and an absolute dirty version.
I know people that compete in powerlifting federations that are drug-free and they're on steroids and they're on a lot.
No, but this is it. Why don't they make it so, like I say, you can take as much as you want?
Drug test. There's other federations where people take as much gear as they want. But obviously, you're going to get people who are just fucking monsters in that anyway, that become even more of a monster on gear. And they think, I'm never going to be able to compete with that. But if I go in a natural one, where a lot of people believe everyone's natural in it,
no, but they're tested constantly. No.
They are tested, but they haven't got the funds to test them every day. Well, UFC fighters,
you don't need testing every day, would you, though? For, like, say, taking steroids and stuff. Surely, no, it's in your system for a good couple of months.
It depends how good your doctor is to flush it out.
It's fucking pathetic.
There's a lot of roids in that in UFC, isn't there?
Yeah. It's not just steroids nowadays. I mean, TJ Dillashaw, who was in UFC, he got done for, like, blood, fucking transfusing his blood and putting extra red blood cells in his body, which is something Lance Armstrong got done for. His cyclists normally do that.
Really?
Yeah, like EPO it's called. Google EPO. An EPO is dangerous as fuck because it thickens your blood, so it increases your chance of an heart attack and stroke majorly. It's called EPO and it is dangerous as fuck. But TJ Dillashaw got done for that. He was cutting down from bantam weight to something like that, down to bantam weight he were fighting at. And basically, it was going to drain his body of all the energy. So he took EPO, which gave him more red blood cells, which gave him more oxygen around his body, and he got busted for it.
Erythropoietin or something, EPO, is a hormone produced by the kidney that promotes the formation of red blood cells by the bone marrow. The kidney cells that make erythropoietin are sensitive to low oxygen levels in the blood, so that travels through the kidney.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking... It
could fuck you up.
Yeah, so
stupid, then, isn't it?
Right, so it's well known by thickening the blood. Oh, so I saw this sort of documentary, I think. Was it that about Lance Armstrong, where he's, like, going to sleep and then he'd have an alarm and it'd go off and he'd have to get up and cycle?
To thin his blood out.
Yeah, so to start thickening as he was sleeping.
And
they'd
sleep in, like, oxygen chambers as well, so... Yeah, like, altitude chambers, sorry. So that had increase the, I think, was that your white blood cells, the altitude ones.
Bollocks.
There's loads of ways of cheating, and the drug testing's getting more and more, it's improving every time, so they're going to catch them, but there's always going to be someone one step ahead. I mean, the Icarus documentary on Netflix, the Russian guy who can't go back to Russia and they've got his fucking family captive still, he showed how he could, have you not watched that yet?
No.
It's good, watch it. He showed how he, like, doped all, I think it was Chinese and Russian Olympics team, and got away with it for fucking years. That's why when they take the samples, they take an A sample and a B sample. They'll test your A sample and your B sample gets locked away in a freezer and they can test that for the next 10 years. So what you'll find now is, because the drug testing is getting so fucking good, you're going to have people, I'll just say Usain Bolt, even though I don't believe he is, Usain Bolt in 10 years' time could be stripped for every one of his gold medals because they've found stuff in his B sample.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're really good. And that's why when TJ Dillashaw got busted for the EPO, he fought Henry Cejudo, and he lost the fucking fight anyway. Cody Garbrandt, who he'd fought the two fights previous to that, and TJ Dillashaw knocked him out, Cody says, he were on that when I fought and test him. So they went back and tested his B sample, and it were clean, he weren't on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, the drug testing's getting that good now,
like John Jones got busted for having something like 0.05 millimeter of anabolic steroid in his urine, when what it was, he had a line of coke, and because in China when they cut cocaine they'll cut it in the same tubs that they've cut creatinine or anabolic steroids. It's tested for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've bored you all to death with that as well, man.
You went a bit rain on the
fucking I'm boring everyone tonight.
Well, I've just slipped that rope off. No, it's interesting. So I'm not a massive. I like training at the gym, and everyone likes to look good. But I'm not a powerlifter. I'm not a bodybuilder. So I'm not into all that. I love Arnie and all them, but I'm not. You're in massive into it, and that's your passion. I like that. But
see, I've got the utmost respect for Arnie and for Felith and them and all women that do it. Of course, for the determination and dedication and sacrifice to give. I don't want to be that guy. Which. It winds Luke up that I want to get down as skinny as I can and just be like aesthetically pleasing for me.
It winds me up that you say you want to look like Henry Cavill.
No, his kind of body, because he has got Brock
fucking Lesnar's frame.
Yeah, no, but I'm no. Now, we've seen that with pictures when I've got down, when I were 24 stone plus, then I got down to 17. I still thought I was fat, even though the pictures were. Good.
I told you.
I wanted to get thinner. Whereas then, after injury and other stuff that's gone off, I went back into it and I got down again. But then I started powerlifting with Luke, and because it was just something new to do, because I got bored of just doing the lightweight reps. Got
Hmong power as well, as they call it.
I started putting serious mass on, but I also had the chubbiness, and also all my clothes started not to fit me. Even though we were doing mint in gym and we were getting some proper we were looking big. And it was like power, weren't it?
Log pressing, deadlifting, everything.
But none of my clothes had fit me, so I had to stop. And it got ridiculous. And again, I've got to start now. I'm back to where I was step one. I've gone right back to where I were before we were at the size again.
Yeah.
So it's back on the drawing board. When I can get back in the gym and Dr. Clears me, and I can start training again.
And you stop fucking training your NHS.
It's all in your head. Just gentle exercise. Walk a mile a day.
This coffee needs to go because it's doing my head in.
You can only walk to you're not allowed near parks, but walk past Yeomanry Park on the other side of the road so no one sees you.
He's not allowed near a school, but he lives over at Road for a while.
That's why I'm wondering why Chuck's come, because he's on the register.
Classic paedophile jokes.
But no, just go walk for a mile for a day. It'll ease your back, lower back. Just keep your posture right. You've not done it.
Moving on. Right. Have we got hotels we can talk about, guys?
Yes. Next pod. We've got another one. This is a
Thursday. We're going to do one Thursday, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do another one Thursday.
Change of venue as well. We're doing it at Miles.
Yeah, we're doing it at Luke's. Yeah, boy. We're doing it at Luke's.
You just know as well. I've got like a 5-6-month-old daughter. She's just going to wake up and scream halfway
through. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I'll just lock her in the car outside while we finish it.
Fucking hell. So Lee has to go to Luke's. He has to go in handcuffs. Obviously, it's this. Children around.
But no, wow.
Next, I'm joking.
He's godfather to one of my kids.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, well.
His face then.
Why is it?
Because she would be in demented at time by your ex-wife.
You were in limbo.
Yeah, I was in limbo. So next week we've got, next pod, Thursday, the one we're recording.
Chuck were in Azkaban at times.
No, purgatory.
Fucking hell.
Purgatory.
A shout out to my friend Josh. Has got his own Away Days beer company on the go, doing really well.
Have you got a link to his?
I'm going to shout all that out. So the beers he's got going, and I've had, I'll just name them all, Golden Goal. They're all beer related. It's obviously Away Days. He's a big Ipswich fan and all.
Poor sod.
I know. So he's got a list of beers. So it's Golden Goal. They're all plays. Some of them are plays on like names as well. So football, Hoppy Robson. Yeah. You've got Forza Paolo Di Canio, Butcher's Bandage, Terry Butcher. Yeah. You've got Hursty's Hat Trick, Bonzo, Boncho, Pablo's Pale, The Beat. The Beat is a great ale. Yeah. I think that's an amber or a pale, if I'm right. I think that was my favourite one, what I'd had. Brazil's Best, I think that's a bitter. And then his new one, which we're all going to be sampling on Thursday, is Ale and Shearer. And if you go to Away Days beer on Instagram or Twitter, you will see Alan Shearer actually stood with holding a bottle of ale. And Shearer.
What's their Instagram name?
His Instagram name is just Away Days Beer Company. It's just Away Days. If you type in Away Days Beer Company, it's going to straight up on Instagram. They're available. You can go to www.beersofeurope.co.uk, and also they're available if you live in the Ipswich area at Hopsters Ipswich, and that's at Hopsters Ipswich on Instagram.
It's got a Twitter as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so Away Days Beer Company on Twitter as well, and obviously we'll plug in massively again next week. We're all going to try these ales, and they're all football. Obviously, I know loads of lads are into football. They're all football themed. They look like football shirts on the labels.
Yeah.
All that quality, good merchandise.
Yeah, very, very good. I spoke to Josh earlier, and there's no merch available for us at the minute, but new stuff is to follow, so we will sort that out.
Cool beans.
Yeah, and we'll probably get Josh on at some point and get to talking. He's a very Luke's trumping now. this is just toilet humour at its finest. But yeah, we've got to start getting it. Fucking grow up, wafting your farts. Yeah,
do you smell it? We're
going to get people on and then have guest appearances. Obviously, you'll have to speak to our agent first, because we're that popular now.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have some guests on and discuss certain topics, aren't we?
We've recorded a couple tonight.
Yeah,
we've recorded a couple of pods tonight, and we're going to release them, maybe one later in the week. Quite serious, so let us know what you think. I try and slip a bit of humour in there. We all do, don't we? We all have a laugh, but
Chuck tries to slip humour into this podcast like he slips stuff into girls' drinks.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. I'd like to say that he's lying now. I'm joking. No, he's a prick.
Oh, dear.
But no, seriously, it's a pleasure doing this. I really enjoy doing
it. It's kind of like figuring out how far you can push it. Like, obviously, tonight I've just made a date rape joke. We've made paedophile jokes.
It's kind of seeing
how far we can push it and what we can.
Gary Glitter's my role model joke,
Well, you've just admitted that again.
Jesus Christ.
But and I don't mind people hating on us as well, because what are they doing with their lives? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? What are they doing? Nothing. And this is just three good mates having a bit of a laugh. This
podcast literally started where... We're in a...
My idea.
We're in a group. We're on a group on Facebook, and we just chat shit to each other every day, and we thought, let's...
Why are we not recording this?
Yeah, let people listen.
Sharing's caring.
Which, obviously, it's dumbed down a lot on here, because if they listen to our group chat, we'd all be doing lengthy sentences inside.
Well, but Lee just saying sharing's caring, is that what you and Gary say?
Wow.
Yeah,
but right, I've got no else to bring up, guys. I don't know if you have.
No, I think we need to, if anyone would like to tweet us.
Yeah, come on, let's have somebody tweet us on
and give us some subjects. We've said the Twitter. It's a.
This is my lad's resort.
This is my lad's resort. I've got it right. This is my lad's resort.
Because if you didn't, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, I'll fucking kill you back.
So yeah, guys, can someone just please tweet us and Instagram us?
It's only fucking desperate.
Fucking tweet us then. Fucking hell.
Yeah, and if you want to swipe right on Lee on Tinder and Puff as well. don't do that, because he's a scumbag and he sends us pictures of you, so don't do it.
He's got cameras in his room, and he's not bothered if you're a bloke either.
Clearly, because he goes to Thailand.
We're going dark, lads, now. We're going dark.
Right. Hopefully, as well, some of the other lads who were meant to be joining us on podcast can make it Thursday.
Yeah, Tyler Gastu.
Yeah.
Yes. We have got other mates who are quite neglectful of us.
Well, there's six of us in the group, and so far, three of the best have met it. So, as you can hear, that's Lee.
You've not vaped on pod all night.
He has. On this one, he's done a few, but he's leaned other way, thinking no one can hear it. But
we'll see.
Yeah, fucking Darth Vader over there. Yeah.
Look at his nipples, they're massive.
He's
fully
erect. Took it out.
He took why?
Yeah, because it was just.
Lee had his
time. It was time to take it out.
you're 44 year old.
We'll leave that for next podcast.
Who bit that out?
Right, guys. So it's a it's a big farewell from me, and I'll catch you later.
Yeah, see you later, guys.
See you later, bye guys. Bye.